Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is October the 9th. I'm Steven Masso, and you are listening to Via the Source. Now, before I start this episode, I think this is going to be the first episode that I upload to YouTube. As of now, the episodes have been available on Podbean, they've been available on Spotify, and of course, the Apple Podcast app. But I think this is going to be the first episode I upload to YouTube. So if YouTube makes it easier for you to access, you can by all means check it out on YouTube from now on. And I'll try to get a video element to this added if enough people request it, or if that's something people are interested in. I would, you know, I love being on camera. I wouldn't mind that one bit. So this episode is going to be recapping the game between Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins. To dive straight into it, it was unacceptable, an unacceptable performance by the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins were defeated by the Cincinnati Bengals this past Sunday, intense matchup in Cincinnati. So for many Dolphin fans, as you could possibly see on Twitter, it was a breaking point. In the third quarter, 6 minutes on the clock, Dolphins have a 17-0 lead. Now, over the years, the fans have grown accustomed to losing games that should have been won. So given that, it was almost unsurprising that the Bengals were able to claw their way back into this one, scoring 27 unanswered points to win this game. Now, what makes it even more painful was that the Miami Dolphins offense scored more points for the Cincinnati Bengals than for themselves. So think about that for 1 second. There were two turnovers in this one that were returned for touchdowns for both, I think. Most of the blame here has to fall on quarterback Ryan Tannehill. One came as he was trying to throw it to his receiver's feet, kind of end the play, dead it right there. Instead, it ricochets off his teammate's helmet into a defender's arm in a play that would be very hard to replicate in a Madden video game. That's how absurd it was. The second turnover came at a crucial drive while the team was down three minutes remaining. This is where you see if you have a franchise quarterback. Instead, Tannehill slowly moves from a crumbling pocket. Defenders were able to pounce on him. He fumbles the ball, taken back for a touchdown. Now, I understand some of the blame definitely on the offensive line. Porous, horrible offensive line work in this game. But on that one play in particular, it's very clear that whole side of the pocket was being flushed out. On that one, I think you see guys like Russell Wilson take off running a lot quicker, a lot more urgency, something Andy Dalton in this game was doing frequently. He was on his feet and making plays out of nothing. And instead, it looked like Tannehill, with no urgency, shifted to the left, tried to stand in that pocket. He took way too long to react to that play, ended up fumbling at a huge time, and that's just something we cannot have. And that's just a quick summary of this game. To dive into it, as always, I begin with the game ball. Now, I prefer to give a Miami player the game ball. Last game against the Patriots, I had to give it to Sony Michel, the running back for the Patriots, because I just didn't see anyone on the Miami side that deserved it. And realistically, I could probably do that as well for this game. But instead, I'm going to give this one to Jerome Baker. I thought he looked great out there. He is looking a lot more impressive than Raekwon McMillan at this point in their careers. Baker had 6 solo tackles and 2 sacks. I really liked the upside this guy brings. Now, let's begin with the Miami defense. Initially, the team came out, I thought, looking really strong defensively again. Defensively, this team comes out really good every single time. Dalton was being pressured throughout the beginning. He was forced to make those throws on the run that I talked about. And despite AJ Green, who finished with 112 yards, he wasn't really dominating the game like that stat line may suggest. Now, Joe Mixon finished with 93 yards on 22 carries. One of my keys to victory in the preview episode was to keep Mixon under 90. Now, that did not happen. You can see the result here. But the defense appeared to keep him in check in the first half, holding him to only 18 yards. He wasn't getting anything going on the ground. But in the second half, things began to unravel. And why did things unravel? Well, if you listen to last week's recap, it's the same thing. The offense, once again, cost this team the game. Another uninspiring, unimaginative game plan that was being used to attack a team with a strong offense in a weak defense. Another matchup against a defense that we should be dominating, and we just blow it and can't get anything going. The offense picked up slow again, but they appeared to find a rhythm on a 95-yard drive. Second quarter, it was capped off by a 22-yard touchdown pass to a wide-open Kenyon Drake. Now, Drake's involvement in this game was increased, and I knew it was going to be because he was getting absolutely nothing in the two games before. He finished with 13 total touches, but Frank Gore, he still held the primary rushing role, getting twice as many carries. He had 12. Drake only had 6. Now, Gore overall had a very solid day as a rusher. He bounced between holes really well. He was able to rack up 63 yards on the ground. Drake finished with 46 yards rushing, but Drake was also the team's leading receiver, 7 catches, 69 yards. Now, I like Drake having an increased role. I said it was necessary that we get Kenyon Drake involved, but if he's going to be the team's leading receiver, that's not good at all. It was clear in this game there were too many checkdown passes. They weren't trying to get the ball downfield. They were settling on those long third down situations. Again, something that has frustrated fans for years now, that they seem to give up on third downs. And there was just too many checkdown routes, too many short completions that didn't affect the game in any way. The only other notable receiver for Miami was Albert Wilson. He picked up 43 yards on 5 catches. Now, Jakeem Grant, a terrific punt return. Just so fast, it is almost a glitch. 50-yard punt return in this one that completely shifted the game. The momentum was at an all-time high after that play. But like I said, the offense, having a 17-0 lead, all you have to do at that point is not lose the game. And that is exactly what they did. The spiral kind of began when Laremy Tunsil exited the game in the third quarter with a concussion. Tannehill began getting pressured even more so. But I still think you cannot afford to make the decisions and the errors he made in that game. He finished the game 20 for 35, 185 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, and of course that costly fumble. So my takeaways from this game, the first one, the major one, the one everybody is talking about right now, and to me, it is Tannehill is what he has shown us that he is. After this game, it seems like he is exactly what he has been. There have been the arguments in the past. If he had more weapons, if he had a consistent running game, or if he had a better offensive line. Now, I get it. His offensive line in this game was missing 3 of their starters. Not in the best situation. But if the team is going to perennially send out a quarterback who needs to have the perfect roster in order to succeed in a sport with the highest amount of injuries, then the team will never be a true contender. Heck, Dalton was even being pressured throughout this game, but he extended plays. He moved around and he looked fluid out there. Tannehill looked like a statue, not knowing how to make a play when the pocket began to collapse. And that's something that Tony Romo, he made a whole career off of that. Now, a team should not be up 17-0 and be scared to put the ball in their quarterback's hands. When I think of that, I think of teams like the Jaguars, and I always thought that Tannehill was way beyond a talent level of Blake Bortles. But for the team to lose a game because the ball is in their quarterback's hands, up 17-0 heading into the fourth quarter, that is unacceptable. And it's really a shame because the defense, I think, has been playing way beyond my expectations. I didn't see the defense as being this strong at this point in, because a lot of these guys are young. There's a lot of rookies. There's Raekwon McMillan, Jerome Baker, Minkah Fitzpatrick. These guys have really important roles and they're barely, you know, in their rookie years. But they have been playing great and it's a shame that their defensive performances are being wasted by a really ineffective offense. That leads me to my next takeaway. The play calling must change. The lack of creativity right now is mind-boggling. Some of these, the blame has to fall on Tannehill, like I said, these checkdown passes and the reads he's making, picking up 2 yards at a time, yeah, that might be on him. But if the team is going to insist on playing to his strengths and using this short game, there must be more creativity at it. We cannot continue playing like this. And then my last takeaway is, it's more a question, and it's not a huge deal, but it is something that is definitely in the back of my mind. Should the team insist on using Gore as the primary rusher? Is that really the best option? Because I wonder, and this is not a knock on Gore, because Gore has actually looked really effective. In this game specifically, Gore looked really great, but Drake is still the more athletic of the two. I don't think that's a debate, and Drake has that home run threat of being able to break one big at any moment. So I'm still kind of questioning whether the team should be giving Gore the bulk of the carries, and it's not a knock on him, but just more so what could happen if Drake was getting these carries instead. Now, the team will head back to Miami feeling defeated. Chicago's offense has been picking up, but it's not what really worries me, because the Bears boast that super dominant defense led by Khalil Mack, who is not so quietly having an MVP caliber season. So with the holes on the offensive line, a struggling QB, and the play calling that has stagnated, this game could easily follow the same script, and that really, really worries me. Now, the next topic of discussion, it's going to be really quick. Just go over it. There are some rumors, I don't know how true they are, that the Dolphins are exploring the option to trade Devontae Parker. And at this point, I have been an advocate for Devontae Parker his entire career. Every year, I am that guy. I'm the one who says, this is the year he explodes. That's me. Because I look at him, his talent's through the roof. His athletic ability's through the roof. He is a big receiver. And he has those moments, that one-handed catch against Oakland. He's constantly jumping over people, getting these miraculous jump ball opportunities. He is really good when he is healthy. But he also has moments where it looks like he doesn't want it. And I cannot argue with that. That's the main knock on him. It looks like he doesn't want it. But one argument I will not be making is that he is fragile or he cannot stay healthy. Because realistically, he isn't missing as many games as people make it sound like he is missing. And also, I do not like the argument of calling NFL players fragile because they get hurt often. This is a sport. You have guys 200-plus pounds of muscle running full speed at each other with pads and a metal helmet on their head. And the injuries are going to happen when you collide at that speed. Or when you're activating muscles and you pull a hamstring because you have that much muscle on your body and you're activating it to go that speed with pads and all these unnatural weights attached to your body. Injuries happen. I'm never going to knock a player for getting hurt in a sport like this. It's ridiculous to me. So I will not use that argument against him that he can't stay healthy. But though the argument that he doesn't want it or that his passion's not there or his desire to practice, I can't argue with that. So if the team were elect to trade him, I would not be outraged with it, but I will say that you're going to have to live with the fact that another team is going to use him and he's going to continue to have those moments. He may not play as much. He may get hurt still, but he will have those moments. He will have those awesome jump balls. A team will find a way to use him effectively, and he will have those jaw-dropping moments. And if you're able to live with that, then so be it. But you know, it's just a flip of the coin. And honestly, I don't know what the decision that should be on this one is. Because I think at this point, might as well keep him. Just because the upside he brings is tremendous. He's on a rookie contract. I think you hold on to him. I think he could stretch the field well. He's a difficult matchup for defenders. And I just think that trading him won't fix the problem immediately. And if you're going to do it, then that is going to be saying that, hey, we hit the reset. We want some picks. You don't do it to fix this team right now because you're not going to get enough in return to fix the entire offense. Might as well keep Devontae Parker. That's what I'm thinking. But I understand. Like I said, I would not be outraged if they trade him, if they want to do something. It's a difficult one to gauge. Now, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. You can comment down below. You can follow at Via The Source, at Shady Steven on Twitter, either one. I tweet more football stuff from Via The Source. Shady Steven's my personal one. And like always, guys, share your thoughts. Ask me questions. I would love to get everybody involved. And I will never knock someone for their opinion. I don't take anything personal. So let me know what you guys think. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.